Genesis 39. Today I will read verses 1 through 6 for the text. Joseph lands in Egypt. Genesis 39, 1 through 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We take up in this message where chapter 37 left off in the story of Joseph. Verse 1 of our text ties this 39th chapter back into the narrative where it left off in Genesis 37, verse 36. Look back at that verse, if you would. Genesis 37, verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And then we have chapter 38 that follows that, which is goes back and tells what happened to Jacob's and Joseph's family in Canaan while Joseph was in Egypt. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. He had been taken down into Egypt by the Ishmaelites, as Genesis 37:28 tells us. Well, the first thing that our text tells us, as it takes up the narrative, is that Joseph arrived in Egypt. Look at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now here, Joseph was sold as a slave by the Ishmaelites who had bought him from his brothers. The man who purchased Joseph was Potiphar. Who was this Potiphar? Well, it's stated three times in our text in verses 1, 2, and 5 that Potiphar was an Egyptian. He is also said to have been an officer of Pharaoh of Egypt, and that he was captain of the guard. So he was an important person. What a rotten, unfair shake Joseph had gotten in life. What a dirty deal he had received. His brothers hated him and betrayed him. They sold him as a slave, and they took him far, took him far from friends and home. He was now far away from the public worship of God. He had no parent, no pastor to watch over him. Joseph could have become embittered at all this and thrown his life away in rebellion and pleasure. But Joseph remained faithful to God in all of this. God always has His faithful people. There's always somewhere to be found God's faithful people, no matter how dark and how deep the wickedness of the day might be. Joseph could not have known why all these things were happening to him. But in all of this unjust treatment, God was preparing him for what he intended to do with him later in life. The wicked things that people do to us are just instruments God uses to work out his good purpose for us. And this certainly was the case with Joseph here. Look at Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19, another scripture that recognizes that God was working out his purpose in these things that happened to Joseph. Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19. The psalmist is speaking here of God's working his purpose out in what happened to Joseph. Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, that is God. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. So God had a purpose in this. In Joseph's sale to Potiphar, God in his providence was preparing Joseph for his future life in the court of Pharaoh. Now think about how this worked out. Ultimately, he was preparing him to save his people Israel from starvation in the famine. As Potiphar's servant, Joseph learned about business and management, and as he took care of Potiphar's large estate. In this situation, Joseph learned the Egyptian culture, and here he learned how to behave in Pharaoh's court. Potiphar's associates would introduce Joseph to and accustom him to the people and practices of Pharaoh's court. This was invaluable experience that Joseph would need when Pharaoh would later tap him to be the head over all of the supply of food in the famine in Egypt. Now, one of the great truths of God's Word is the fact that God always has His reasons for the things that happen to us. You know, it's awfully easy to say, why me, Lord? Why? And even to shake our fist in God's face and say, why? Well, God always has His reasons for the things that happen to us. We may not know what these reasons are. I don't think Job ever fully understood the why of all the things that happened to him. But God had His reasons. But if we trust God, we know that those reasons are there. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, a lot of times we get impatient when God brings things into our lives that we don't understand. Most of our trials are just training and preparation for things that God has for us in the future. What a blessed way to look at things that happen to us and give meaning to them and avoid depression and bitterness and anger. James 1, 2, and 4 speaks to this, 2 through 4. Let's turn to James 1, 2 through 4. This passage speaks to what we've just said here. God has a purpose. He has a reason in everything He allows to come our way. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, God's using those for something. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is preparing us for something better when these things happen to us. God always prepares His people for their service to Him when He has something for them to do. But many times we're not alert or we're not trusting enough to see this. Whatever God's purpose is for us, He will in some way or other prepare and train us for that purpose. God may be working, listen, young people, God may be working towards something great and important in your life. Do you trust Him in the trials and difficulties of this life? Well, next in verses 2 and 3, the Scriptures tell us here that in all of this, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, there's another example of this, Abimelech and Phicol. Can anybody remember that far back in the study of Genesis? Abimelech and Phicol recognized that the Lord was with Abraham. Look at Genesis 21 and verse 22. Genesis 21 and verse 22. Abimelech and Phicol saw that God was with Abraham. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. They were aware that God was with him, just like Potiphar was aware. Now, another example, turn to Genesis 26 and verse 24. Here the Lord told Isaac that he was with Isaac. Genesis 26, 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Still another example. Turn to Acts 7 and verse 9. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. Here in his great sermon, Stephen said that the Lord was with Joseph. He's talking about the time in our text. Acts 7 and verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. What is meant by the Lord was with Joseph here? What does this mean? How was the Lord with him? Well, the Lord was with Joseph in the sense that Joseph was aware of God's presence with him. Joseph always knew that God was near. Joseph had no relatives. He had no friends with him. But he had his God with him, even in the house of Potiphar. Whatever Joseph did, he was always conscious that God was with him. This is seen in the statement that Joseph made to Potiphar's wife when she tempted him to sin. It's found in Genesis 39:9. Joseph said there, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He knew that God was with him. He was aware of God's presence. She said, nobody will ever see this. He knew that God would, because God was with him. How then shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not sin against Potiphar. Not sin against Potiphar's wife, but sin against God, whose presence with him Joseph always recognized. God's presence was with Joseph to comfort him and encourage him. I've always been amazed. I just can't understand how Joseph could hold up to all of what he had to go through like he did, until I understood that it was God's presence with him. And he realized that presence. The Lord's presence was with him and blessed him and encouraged him and protected him from his enemies. The fact that the Lord is said to have been with Joseph here also means, according to the context, that God blessed him by making him prosper in his work. Now, just looking at the context, we know this is involved. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Why did he prosper? Because the Lord was with him. "And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Verse 3 says that God made all that Joseph did prosper in his hands. In other words, Joseph was successful in his work. Verse 3 says that Joseph's master saw that God was prospering Joseph's work. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Everything in his hand, everything in Joseph's hand prospered. This means that everything he was in charge of, everything he was responsible for, prospered. Potiphar was a heathen man. He knew nothing about the spiritual presence of God, but he perceived by Joseph's conduct and the success of his work that God favored Joseph. Turn with me to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Here, and this is not the prosperity gospel as those people preach it, but God promises here to prosper all that godly men do. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. "Blessed," or happy, "is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That defines what a godly man is. Now look at the rest. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." And here it is: "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a promise that is. God's presence with us is what makes our efforts prosper. Let us give God all the glory. Now, in commenting on verse 2 of our text, Charles Spurgeon said that, quote, "Here is a one-line biography of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph," unquote. Having the Lord with us is the privilege of every Christian. That's not just something for Joseph or the apostles. That's the privilege of every Christian. In the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus promises His churches and His people, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Those benedictions in the New Testament speak of this often. For example, Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 15:33, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." To the church at Corinth, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:11, "The God of love and peace shall be with you." I wonder this morning, do you have that wonderful blessing of God's being with you each day? Are you aware of that, conscious of that, that God is with you every day? Next, in verses 4 through 6 of our text in Genesis 39, we read that Joseph was promoted. Joseph was promoted. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught or anything he had save the bread which he did eat. So Potiphar recognized the fact that God was with Joseph, and so he set Joseph over all of his house. Verse 4 says that Joseph found grace in his sight. I believe it's important to ask here, in whose sight? First of all, he found, though it's not stated here, he found grace in God's sight. God's grace is what made Joseph what he was and what gave him favor with Potiphar. But obviously, Joseph also found grace in Potiphar's sight. In this, Joseph was like his Lord, whom Luke 2:52 says had favor with God and man. Favor, grace means favor. Note the phrase in verse 4, and he served him. Joseph is said here to have served Potiphar. With all the troubles and injustices that had come to Joseph, how did he react to that? Joseph did not just sit down and quit. You know, I've known people that have done that. They get a so-called dirty deal in their life, and they just sit down and pout, and they expect the world to give them, they think the world owes them a living, and they're not going to do anything else. They've just been dealt a dirty hand in life. Joseph didn't do that. He didn't just sit down and quit. He did not give up. He did not become depressed because he had been wronged. Nor did he try to escape. That's an interesting thing. He didn't try to get home to his father. Instead, Joseph remained faithful in the place where God had put him. He served his master Potiphar readily, willingly, and cheerfully. He was a diligent and faithful person in serving Potiphar. Potiphar recognized Joseph's diligence and faithfulness. These two things, diligence and faithfulness, are the surest way to succeed in our work. You know, some people today think you have to be a genius, an economic genius or a business genius in order to succeed in their work. That's not true. The surest way to succeed, I mean, you may not become a Rockefeller or any other rich man, but you will succeed by diligence and faithfulness. God promises success to such who exercise these traits of character. For his good work, Joseph was promoted by Potiphar to be the overseer of all of Potiphar's estate. Now, he didn't have the background for that. You know, he never went to college. He never studied business administration. But he was diligent in his work and faithful in his work. Joseph was diligent, and the Lord rewarded him for it, just as Proverbs 22:29 promises. And I want you to turn with me to that, because it certainly describes Joseph as well as every other person who strives for diligence and faithfulness in his work. Proverbs 22:29. You would think this verse was written about Joseph. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean, or that means lowly, men. Let me read that again. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He'll succeed. Did you hear recently about the latest politically correct teaching that says, if a person says anyone can succeed in America who works hard and is honest, that is a racist statement. Did you hear that? God's Word says different than that. God's Word, God says God rewards diligence and faithfulness. Turn with me to Matthew 25:23. Matthew 25:23. This is the parable of the talents. And here the Lord Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The Lord Jesus Christ goes by this rule with His servants. Now, what does it mean to be diligent? What does it mean to be faithful? We'll look more at that here in a moment. Verse 5 of our text says that God's special blessing was on Potiphar's house. Look at verse 5. "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Once Joseph had been made overseer, everything that Potiphar had, indoors and out, succeeded, because God blessed it for Joseph's sake. Potiphar's family, I'm sure, was blessed with health. Their wealth increased. His business prospered, as did his agricultural enterprises. It says he blessed everything in the field. Here was a wicked family, a non-believing family, blessed for the sake of one good servant in that family. Genesis 30 and verse 27 tells us that Laban likewise recognized God's blessings on his estate because of the good work of Jacob in caring for his flocks. Look at Genesis 30, verse 27. It hadn't been too long ago that we looked at this verse. Genesis 30, verse 27. "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." You know, Potiphar never had such a servant before as this Joseph. Joseph served him, but he served him as more than a slave. Potiphar got a real bargain in Joseph. Whatever Potiphar paid for him, he really got a bargain, didn't he? Good men are blessings to the places where they work, even if they are considered lowly men. I used to work for the Oklahoma State Employment Service, and I learned that there are some non-Christian employers who like to hire Christians, even though they're not Christians themselves, they like to hire Christians because of their diligence and faithfulness. What does it mean to be diligent? What does it mean to be faithful in one's work? It means showing up for work every day. Just showing up for work every day. You know, employers would tell me, "I can't find anybody that'll come to work every day." What does a diligent person do? He arrives on time to work every day. He puts in an honest day's work every day. I tell you, when I worked in a factory, I'd see people sitting around, and it wasn't coffee break time. Sitting around drinking coffee, telling jokes, talking politics, whatever. A diligent and faithful Christian, that'll be recognized sooner or later by the employer. And that Christian will sometimes have opportunity, because of these things, to witness to his boss. Potiphar perceived God's blessings on Joseph. Thus he promoted him to the high position of manager of his household affairs. This servant was given the responsibility and the troubles of the estate. They were turned over to him. Potiphar had only the enjoyment of the estate. Must be nice. Potiphar was concerned about nothing. He committed everything to Joseph except his own food. He let Joseph do the work while he just enjoyed his ease and luxury. Remember here that the prosperity of the wicked is always in some way for the good of God's people. Why did God give Potiphar all that prosperity? It was for the good of Joseph and ultimately for his family. Next, we're told in the latter part of verse 6 of Jacob's attractive physical appearance. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. In other words, Joseph was a good looking or a handsome young man. He took after his mother, Rachel, in this. Look at Genesis 29:17. Genesis 29:17 tells us about Rachel, who was Joseph's mother. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Most of us don't have a problem with good looks like that. But, you know, it became a problem for Joseph. We're told about his looks here. His looks are reported here because of what will follow in verses 7 through 20. We'll look at that in our next message. It relates to what happens next in Joseph's temptation by Potiphar's wife. Well, this brings us finally then in the message at Christ in this story. Joseph is in many ways an amazing type or foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that in your lifetime you'll read at least two of Arthur W. Pink's books. Read, first of all, The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink, and secondly, read Gleanings in Genesis. In Gleanings in Genesis, Pink points out 101 ways in which Joseph is a type of Christ. It's amazing to look at this list. But you know what? I believe there are even more than that. As far as our text is concerned, I want us to close today by looking at just six of these types. Six ways in which Joseph is a type of Christ. First of all, Joseph was rejected by his brothers, the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. These wicked brothers rejected Joseph from ruling over them. Remember, he had the vision and he told them that they were going to bow down to him one day. God gave him that vision. They rejected his ruling over them and they sold him into slavery to get rid of him. The Lord Jesus was rejected by Israel when he came to them. In Luke 19:14, the Lord Jesus told in a parable how Israel said of him, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Secondly, Joseph was delivered by his brothers to the Egyptians. The Egyptians were non-Jews, or what the Bible calls Gentiles. Joseph was rejected by his brothers, Israel, and delivered to the Gentiles. At the time of our text, Joseph was in the hands of the Gentiles. Later, the Lord Jesus himself would be delivered to the Gentiles. Sometime before his death, the Lord said to his disciples in Matthew 20:18-19, that he would be delivered to the Gentiles. Let's turn to that. Matthew 20:18-19. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. Matthew 20:18-19. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Thirdly, our text shows how Joseph became a servant in Egypt. And here is a great contrast from being the beloved of his father's house in Canaan all the way down to the humiliation of slavery in Egypt. Isaiah 52:13 identifies Christ as Jehovah's servant. Let's turn to Isaiah 52:13, and we'll keep our place there because we're going to look at that again in a moment. Isaiah 52:13 identifies Christ as the servant of Jehovah. He's talking about, Isaiah is talking about here, the coming Messiah. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. The Lord Jesus came as the servant of the Lord to do the Lord's will. Keep your place there in Isaiah and turn to Philippians 2:6-7. Philippians 2:6-7 tells us the Lord Jesus came as the servant of the Lord to do God's will. This passage says that Christ, who was in the form of God, came to this earth in the form of a servant. Paul is obviously speaking of Christ here, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or not a thing to be held on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, here it is, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Joseph's becoming a servant was nothing compared to the voluntary humiliation of the Lord Jesus when he came into this world as the servant of the Lord. Fourthly, keep your place in Isaiah there. Fourthly, verses 2 and 3 of our text tell us that Joseph was a prosperous servant. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, turn back to Isaiah 53 this time, probably on the same page. Isaiah 53:10. Isaiah 53:10 is speaking of Christ, the servant of the Lord, who is so called in Isaiah 52:13 in the context that we just saw. And it says that that servant would prosper. Isaiah 53:10, he's still talking about the servant. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Fifthly, Joseph was a type of Christ in the fact that Joseph was made a blessing to others. Verse 5 of our text says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. Now, you know, if you've been a Bible student for a while, that Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. And Egypt included Potiphar's house and Potiphar's fields, of course. And so Potiphar's house can be seen as a type of the world in Scripture. This world, my friends, has been marvelously blessed for Christ's sake. What would this world be without the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have things like kindness and courtesy and charity and hospitals and benevolent organizations. Where did all that come from? Right out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right out of the Scriptures. All of these things are a result of Christ and His gospel. Now, the secularists today would never admit that, but all you have to do is look at history and you know it's true. Would this world even exist without the blessings of the gospel of Christ? And so Christ was made a blessing to the world. Finally, number six, Joseph was a type of Christ in that Joseph's master was well pleased with him in his work. So pleased was Potiphar with Joseph that he promoted him to be over all his house. And so pleased was God the Father with the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He said of Christ in Matthew 3:17, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father was so pleased with the work of Christ that He raised Him from the dead and received Him up into heaven, where He is now exalted at His right hand. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this story and how it points us to Christ, and how it teaches us how we should conduct ourselves on the job each day, whatever our lot in life. It teaches us to be faithful and diligent and to recognize Your presence with us. Father, we pray that You'd help us to see there's never a reason to be depressed or blue about the lot that You give us in our lives, because we know that You have given us the things that come our way and that You are preparing us for something in our lives. You have a reason and a purpose, and we're thankful for Your sovereign providence in these matters. We pray for those here today who've never trusted in Christ, who do not have this daily presence of Christ with them that Joseph had. We pray that they would repent of their sins and trust in Christ today and be saved. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.